everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, which is a website, a podcast. And I know I always say coming soon an app, but a mobile app is coming soon. It is submitted to the Apple Store, and it will be up and running in less than a week or two. So I'm really excited to share that with everybody. And I'm even more excited to talk about what we're talking about today, which is Facebook and other social media and divorce, how it can help you during a divorce and how it can hurt you. So basically, we all know going through a divorce can feel scary and stressful and emotional and actually just exhausting. And a lot of people feel that using social media is a good way of support themselves during a divorce. So you can vent on social media, you can see your friends, you know, social media is always there. It's available to us 24/7, and it wouldn't it be nice to feel heard and validated? Now, that said, you have to know what's appropriate to post and what isn't. So Facebook and other social media can be your best friend. It can also really, really hurt you legally. And a great, great person to talk about this with is my guest, divorce attorney Anna Krolikowska. She is here with us today to talk about this. So hi, Anna.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you for inviting me to join you.
Well, it's such a pleasure having somebody who's so knowledgeable on this subject. And Anna actually wrote an article on the subject for Divorce Girl Smiling, and that's what we're going to talk about. So before we get into it, I just want to let everybody know, Anna has been a divorce attorney. Okay, Anna, I'm going to guess like 12 years, 13 years.
That's so nice of you. 15 at this point.
Okay, 15.
Thank you.
So she's been in practice for 15 years. She's a Northbrook-based divorce attorney, which is a suburb of Chicago, but has clients all over Chicagoland. And Anna is also the president of the Illinois State Bar Association, which, Anna, I have to tell you, I just find that so incredibly impressive. It's a huge deal.
It is. And
so I feel really honored that you're taking the time to talk about this with me, because I think that you really have a knowledge and experience of people who are going through a divorce who you've seen social media help them and hurt them. So tell me about that.
Well, in general, I mean, we all spend a lot of time on social media, whether it's an escape or a distraction or a way to connect or vent. We all do it. It's just when you're going through a divorce process, your emotions are magnified and you are often tempted to use social channels or social media channels to share or look for advice or people who are in a similar situation or maybe have gone through a similar experience. And often that can hurt you in a divorce setting, especially if you're going through a litigated process, because anything you post can be discoverable. That means that in your case, whatever was posted can be introduced as part of the trial, and a judge can become aware of it and can take it into account in making decisions regarding especially child custody, right?
Oh, that would be such, it sounds like such a scary, nightmarish thing that could happen.
Absolutely. And it's so easy to misconstrue something that has been written down. Maybe you didn't express yourself as well as you would have otherwise. Maybe you were having a really bad moment, whether that's, you know, in the afternoon or very early in the morning, and you posted something that you very much regret. Often it can be difficult, if not impossible, to take that back. So my advice in general would be to be very judicious in how you use social media and to rather rely on mental health professionals or trusted advisors who can help to guide you through that process.
Right. And I want to bring up another really good point that you wrote in this article. Another downside, certain social media posts can make the conflict with your ex worse.
Absolutely.
So if you're not getting along with your ex, and even if you block him on him or her on all your social media channels, some friend can take a picture of it and send it to your ex, and then your divorce can become way worse.
Absolutely.
It is so hard to hold back feelings, but you have to be really smart about it. And that's why you brought up such a good point where go to a divorce coach or go to a therapist and talk to them about your feelings. Or I always tell people, write things down, keep a journal, but don't show anybody. And you'd be really surprised at how just writing things down for yourself helps you feel validated and heard.
And going back to what you said in terms of the coach, you know, that individual, one, is trained in helping you deal with your emotions as you're going through a difficult period of time, but to also recognize and figure out ways of getting to a point where things will be better. And they're not just, you know, your friends who are going to agree with everything you're saying. They're actually going to be able to offer constructive, productive ways of getting through what you're dealing with.
Correct. And you know what is so funny? I am going to bring up my newest Divorce Girl Smiling partner. Her name is Jenny Stevens, and she's a divorce coach and a therapist. And she's an amazing person. So if you're looking for a divorce coach, I would recommend Jenny. You can find her at createchangeconsultants.com and also on Divorce Girl Smiling. I want to move on to the article you wrote on Divorce Girl Smiling, 6 tips for Facebook and other social media when it comes to divorce. So Anna, what I'm going to do is read the six tips that you wrote, and then you can kind of expand on each one. So the first tip is publish content on social channels is discoverable. And yes, you already said that. Tell me why it's such a bad idea to post when you're angry, when you're hurt, when you're feeling feelings of hate and injustice. Why? What can happen in court?
So worst case scenario, if we're talking a truly litigated case and there are custody issues involved, at the end of the day, a judge is looking at your case through the lens of what is in the best interest of the child or children. And if we're dealing with custody issues, truly litigated custody issues, often there is a need for a mental health professional to do a custody evaluation, to meet with the parents, to meet with the children, to talk to collateral contacts, and to, at the end of the day, produce a written report and tell the judge, is joint custody a good idea? And if it's not, should one of the parents have custody? And if so, who? And it's heartbreaking when something that was posted on social media potentially has the power, the strength, or is used to tip the scales in
right.
terms of who has custody.
Right, because it could make you, even if
there.
You are such an emotionally healthy person otherwise, divorce tests those limits, and you could look really unstable by what you posted and open up this whole can of worms when you're really a good, capable parent.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. And now I want to say one more thing about this. Having feelings of hate and anger and bitterness, those are all normal and healthy feelings to have. So Anna and I are not telling people not to feel those feelings. We understand how you feel. I've been there. Anna has dealt with this with at least 200 clients in her career. But there's a difference between feeling those feelings, sharing them with a divorce coach or a therapist, or just journaling them yourself or support with your family and friends, and writing them down on social media.
Absolutely.
Okay, moving on to the second tip for social media and divorce. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, divorce attorney Anna Krolikowska. Number two, carefully consider what you publish about your partner. Avoid posting critical, negative, or emotionally charged content about your partner. While you might be hurting and you might find comfort in seeing your friends, and I'm just going to not read anymore, seeing your friends hit like and, yeah, I agree, he's an asshole. You know, you're risking your divorce proceedings in a highly conflicted zone.
Absolutely. Not just in terms of, again, discoverable and how a judge would view it, but also in a situation where, like you said, there might be a deal that you're negotiating and all of a sudden that deal is no longer on the table and it takes you much longer to finish the case and the outcome maybe is not as favorable as it would have been but for that one post.
Correct.
Because you're dealing with a highly emotional situation for both spouses.
Correct.
And so be careful in terms of what you choose to share in a public forum.
Right. Okay, moving on to number three, leave children completely out of the content. Now, why is that, Anna?
For so many reasons. I mean, not only are they not involved in your case specifically, they're minors, right? They did not make decisions regarding the divorce, and you want to keep them out of that, but also protecting their privacy in the future. And for you as a parent, you don't want to be in a situation where years in the future, all of a sudden your child sees something that you posted on social media and is then asking you questions about that. So for a number of reasons, let's keep the kids out of any social media comments or content related to divorce. And also in general, and this is my approach as a attorney working with clients, try to minimize the impact of your divorce on your children.
And you know, Anna, that hits home for me. I mean, here I am. I have a whole business dedicated to divorce, pouring out my heart and soul for the past 8 years. But I always keep in mind, because, you know, there's a lot that I can't really share because I think to myself, what if my kids read this? Would they be upset? And there's not one thing on my site that I feel my kids would read and be upset with.
That's a really wise choice, Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, I think you know, you're a mother. I'm a mother, but many people listening are parents. Our kids are the most important things to us. Nothing is worth hurting your child.
Absolutely. And when you think about it from a child's perspective, when they're hearing negative comments about your spouse, they're internalizing it to mean, well, I'm part mommy, part daddy. If, you know, mommy's saying negative things about daddy and I'm part like daddy, does that mean that I have those negative qualities or characteristics?
Correct. And it really affects them in their life.
Yes.
So,
yes,
it can. And now on that note, I want to bring up the Center for Divorce Education. So if you live in Illinois, you're required to take a parenting class at the beginning of your divorce if you have children. And it's called Children in Between Online. And it is a wonderful class. I've watched the class. It will make you such a better parent in divorce. The other thing I wanted to bring up is they just came out with a new class called Children in Between for Kids. And it's basically a class for kids to watch with their parents to deal with their emotions and learn how to cope. And I mean, these classes were written and produced by Don Gordon, who I have a ton of respect for. He's just a really smart guy. He's a professor and a psychologist, and he really knows what he's doing. And I think the world of these people and their classes. So I want to move on. We're talking about tips for Facebook and other social media as it pertains to divorce. I'm here with Anna Krolikowska, divorce attorney, and we're talking about what you can do and what you should and shouldn't post on social media to help you through your divorce. So moving on to number four, avoid expressing lightning rod opinions that might color people's opinions of your judgment and emotional well-being. So Anna writes, this is not just good advice for divorced people, but for all people. Publishing strong opinions on political views, religious perspectives, and more things that are just personal can be very problematic. So why is that, Anna?
Well, in general, you might find yourself interacting with people whose views differ from yours. And you might not think that opinion that you're expressing is in fact a lightning rod opinion, but others might disagree. And especially in a divorce setting, again, it can impact the way a judge perceives you, or it might impact an opinion of that mental health professional who's conducting a parenting evaluation. And you want to make sure that you're presenting yourself in a best way possible, and also that you're minimizing to the extent you can conflict within the case. So,
and you know what, you bring up such a good point, like when you said about the politics. I think people are so sensitive, especially these days, and the country is just so divided that even if you post the most mild thing about how you feel, you will get so much hate from the other side. And it's really a horrible thing, and it's really sad, but it's just the reality. And so, especially when you're going through a divorce, you don't want to have anybody judging you. And so that's the whole point of just leave it out. You can talk politics or whatever with your friends, but not anything in writing, and especially not on social media.
Absolutely. Now, some folks might say, well, freedom of speech is important to me, and I want to be able to publicly express my opinions. And no one is saying that you can't. We're just saying it might not be the wisest course of action.
I'm so glad you said that, because I am a person who's very passionate about my feelings, and I like to, you know, tell people how I feel, but it's just know when is appropriate to do it and when isn't, which includes social media during a divorce.
Exactly.
Okay, number five, never publish anything on your social channels when you are highly emotional, after you've had a fight with your soon-to-be ex, or when you've been drinking or using any other mood-altering substances. I like that. Okay, or at unusual hours of the day or night. So tell me about that.
Well, in terms of the unusual hours, right, we're not necessarily at our best at 3 a.m. when we've had a sleepless night, right? And our ability to judge what is something that we would want to share on social media might be a little bit different than after we've had a good night's sleep. So keep that in mind. And even if you're tempted to go to social media during those hours, maybe try to refrain from commenting or posting or reposting. Again, this is intended to help you put your best foot forward in a divorce setting.
Right.
And so, if I can maybe add, if you do find yourself up at an odd hour and dealing with a lot of emotions, try to wait till the next morning and then reach out to your attorney or your coach or your therapist and process what is going on, whether that's anxiety related to what's happening in your case or what next steps to anticipate, or really strong emotions that you're dealing with. Try to really go to those folks who can help you.
Okay, I love that. And another suggestion I have is, let's say you're up at 3 a.m, or maybe it's not 3 a.m, but you just found out something from your attorney and you're so mad at your ex, you're so upset. So you just go to social media and you post this long thing about what a jerk he or she is. I would say this is what I would do. Don't actually post it. Copy and paste it into a Word document and then delete it before you post. Because then you feel like you posted it, but you didn't. And so you get to get it out. So goes along the same lines of journaling it for yourself. Like, here's what I would want to say on social media, but I'm not going to post it. But
I like
I
that.
feel like, Anna, you're being a little silent because you're afraid that they're going to hit the send button by mistake.
Yes, I am. I like the idea of writing it
Yes.
in a Word document or writing it out by hand, but try to do it in such a way so that there isn't that temptation or accidentally you hitting that send or post button.
Okay, number six, last one. People use the internet to research every step of the way during a divorce. While reading about approaches online can be helpful, I'd like to caution people and suggest that speaking with an attorney is the best way to ensure that you're getting advice that is best suited to your circumstance. So tell me about that.
So I at least often will see posts on Facebook walls where someone will say, "This is what I'm dealing with," and share certain facts of their case and their situation. And they will ask, "Has anyone else dealt with similar?" And you might get some responses, but what you're not necessarily hearing about is whether these people are in the same state as you are or same country. Are the laws that their agreement or their judgment was entered under the same as yours, because you might be in the same state, but their case might have been resolved 10 years ago, and the laws related to marriage and divorce in Illinois have changed so much in the last 5 years. You might also be dealing with different facts of the case. So, yes, I'm all for doing sort of general research, but then go to the source, speak with an attorney, and find out whether your research, is accurate. Ask them for an opinion, ask them for advice, so that way you are getting information from someone whose work revolves around helping divorcing couples, preferably someone who deals with divorcing couples and divorce.
Correct. And I once wrote an article called Don't Compare Your Divorce with Other People. Because what
Very
happens
wise.
is you hear about these people who like people will say, well, I heard my friend gets $10,000 a month in child support. Well, you know nothing about the friend's case. Nothing about the attorney, nothing about the judge, the circumstances. So you could say, I must have a really bad lawyer. So, it's very important not to look online and hear what other people have to say. But if you have a question, call your attorney or your therapist or your divorce coach.
I absolutely agree. Don't compare because circumstances might be very different. The laws in place might be different. The example you gave, maybe that friend is receiving that amount of spousal support, but maybe she received less in the value of assets. So
Correct.
there are very different fact patterns that we're looking at. Every case is different. Every case is fact and case and instance specific.
Right. Okay, you write in the article, I will leave you with one final rule in quotation marks for social media and divorce. I'm not saying you should delete your social media accounts, but when posting anything on social media, ask yourself this question. If my ex's attorney or a judge saw this, would it hurt my case? If the answer is even remotely yes, then refrain from posting it. And then, of course, we said again, instead talk to a therapist, a close friend, or a member, family member for support. Social media is like broadcasting your life to the world. And while that might be okay in some circumstances, it isn't okay during divorce.
I absolutely 100% agree with that statement.
I mean, posting baby pictures, pictures of your dog, pictures of your kid playing soccer, your kid at college. Those are all wonderful social media things. But posting, my ex is a total jerk. Here's what he did to me. He's already dating someone else. This just makes you look unstable. Which I'm not saying you are. I experienced all of this and was the same way, but broadcasting it out is a bad idea legally and for just your reputation and your community too.
Yes, it's as if you were writing it or it was printed on the first page of the newspaper. And
Correct.
would you want that?
Right.
Compare it to that.
Right. So, Anna, in closing, I want to thank you for being on the show, but I want to ask you before we sign off here to give people some kind of hope about what's going to happen, and are they going to be able to resume social media and be a little more freely after the divorce is over? So tell me about that.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, when you're done with your divorce, you're moving forward, right? You're going to go ahead and live your life, and you can then make the choices based on what you think is appropriate to post on social media without the worry of how will this impact my deal, my settlement with my spouse, right? It's done. It's settled. The documents are signed. The judgment is entered. I still think it's smart to always consider whether you want to share certain things on social media, but you will not be viewing them through the lens of, is this good for my divorce?
Right. And I love that you just said that, because you also want to, don't you care what people, you know, how they perceive you as like a parent, someone in the community, a person, you know, professionally, it could hurt your career if someone thinks you're just unstable and just bad mouthing your ex all the time, whether there's a judge involved or not. I would just say, think very carefully about what you post.
Absolutely. And what you just pointed out in terms of impact on your career and you professionally, it's not uncommon for employers now to ask for access to your social media so they can
see
what do you post?
Right.
What do you share with the world? Because what you do will reflect on our company, and do we want you to represent us to the world?
100%. That's such a good point. Oh, Anna, you're so helpful, such a wonderful person, such a wonderful and talented and experienced attorney. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It is my pleasure, Jackie. I always appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and your listeners, so thank you.
And if you want to find Anna, the name of her company is Anna K. Law. So just look that up online or look on Divorce Girl Smiling, and you can find other articles that Anna's written and another podcast we did together, any other resources and other articles in general, divorcegirlsmiling.com. So again, thank you everybody for listening. This is the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff. I wish you all the best, and we'll talk to you real soon.